Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Good to have you in the house of God. Let's open our time of study and prayer, and we'll get right into it. Join me in prayer, please. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. We are so honored and blessed to be in your house, Father, to be able to commune with you, Lord God, for you are a good, a mighty, and an awesome God. Lord, we have lifted our voices up to you. We ask now that you'd open up our ears so we would hear your voice through your word. Lord, we pray, God, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord God. And Father, today, would you challenge us? Father, today, would you encourage us? Father, today, I pray that no person that walked into church would leave the same, but we'd be encouraged and empowered and strengthened by you, Lord. Father, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I invite you to open your Bibles. We're studying our way through the Word of God. We're in the New Testament, the last book of the New Testament, Book of Revelation. It's been a very fascinating and interesting study. We're up to chapter 18, and I'm going to read a verse of Scripture that we've read a couple of times. You don't need to turn there, but I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, as we get ready to get into Revelation. You're with us today and don't have a Bible, we have some at the front and the back of the churches. You're welcome to use those and study along with us. And if you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to keep those. Amen. I do want to make an announcement. I've been saying it every week, and that is that this particular study that we're in, the book of Revelation, it's hard to just jump into it. And so if you haven't been with us through all the study, some of it you might be thinking, what? I invite you to go to our website. You can catch up on our lessons. You can order copies, past copies on CDs. We have, you can now subscribe to us. You know, we're big time now. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. I'm right up there next to Elvis and Prince. The King and Prince. Get it? You guys are slow today. You're gonna have a hard time keeping up with me today. I can just tell. No, seriously. On iTunes, you can subscribe to our podcast, Lighthouse Fellowship AZ/teaching, and you can catch up with us. So hopefully won't be too confusing for you. But 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Perilous times will come. We as a nation experienced that perilous time just this week. Our brothers and sisters in California, evil is running rampant in the world. And we know that because of our study in the Word of God, we shouldn't be surprised at it, but we should still be sickened by it. In the papers, Darrell, if you'll put that, I'm going to kind of get on a little soapbox here. This was the cover of the New York Times, whatever. And boy, that just made me mad. And that righteous anger? The Texan in me came out when I saw this. God can fix anything. Friends, our answer is still Jesus Christ. I don't care what we're facing. God is our answer. Through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our hope. That is our healing. That is our help. The world has given up. And in fact, have you noticed in our study in the book of Revelation, as all these judgments and things are happening, have you noticed that the people are acknowledging that these things are coming from God, but instead of repenting, they're shaking their fist at God? I mean, if there's no truth, that people are stupid. I mean, people not in this church. Isn't it a little offensive that God compares us to sheep? Cheaper. Anyway, instead of repenting, they're getting mad at God. And we see our world turning away from God. And friends, God in His mercy is dealing with mankind like man needs to deal with a rabid dog. You know, it's actually an act of mercy to put down a rabid dog, isn't it? Because that dog will just bring more pain and sorrow and destruction to itself and to anything else it comes in contact with. A lot of people really get mad at God because of the book of Revelation, because He is bringing judgment and because He is going to free the world of sin. But friends, all of this is an act of mercy. It's all a, a, a sample of God's great love for us. Amen. And God has got a good plan for you. He wants to bless your life. And I encourage you today that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these things are going to be very scary that we read about. But God can save you from that. He wants to bless you. All right, I'm off my little soapbox here. Chapter 17 of Revelation, we saw the destruction of the first Babylon. Mystery Babylon, which is that worldwide religion that's going to be going on in the end times. We know from that study that it will be based out of Rome. And we see that now in chapter 18 that we get into, we're going to see that Babylon the Great, this is the worldwide political and commercial system that is led by the Antichrist, will be dealt with. A lot of people think that there is just one Babylon. Well, remember, Scripture shows that there's two. The mystery Babylon in chapter 17 was the religious side of it. It'll be led by and be kind of run by the false prophet who points everyone to Babylon the Great, the Antichrist, who will be a political and commercial leader. And there are a lot of proofs to that, but the two make one, right? One mindset of Babylon. Last week I took you to Genesis 11. We won't go there, but I'll call this back to your attention where we saw Babylon originated on the plains of Shinar where they built this tower to heaven. Remember that story? And we saw that was the start of this pagan mindset, pagan government, and pagan religion. That's why in chapter 17, verse 5, it's called Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And we got in our study to see how that meant religious thinking. Well, we saw from the Tower of Babylon that there are three great things that show us the mindset of Babylon, and we see them in the world today. The first thing we saw is that they were a city without God, right? God said, go into all the world and multiply and to possess the world, right? Well, they found a plain in Shinar and said, let us build a city to ourselves, right? The second thing is they believed they could get to heaven without God. Instead of going through God, they built this tower to reach to heaven. And the third mindset or attitude of Babylon, and we see it in our world today, is they sought glory for themselves and not to God. He said, come, let us make a name for ourselves. Our job as believers are to make a name and to glorify God, right? So the spirit of Babylon is very real in the world. People ask me, where is this Babylon? Is it America? There are some people who think it is. I don't believe it is. I believe it is the literal Babylon of the Old Testament. And I'll tell you why. I've got some scriptures here. If I can find them. I'm already off my notes, but I tend to do that. Isaiah 13, 19 and 20, please, Daryl. Check this out. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, up to today in history, that has never been fulfilled. You say, wait a minute. Sure it has. It's never been destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to read about it in chapter 18. Then the next one is Jeremiah 51, verse 26 and verse 43. Jeremiah 51, 26. I'm sorry. Do I got 36? That's right. Let's read the screen. This is talking about Babylon. They shall not take from you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord. Then the next one, verse 43. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, and the land where no one dwells, through which no son of man passes. Now, even though Babylon, which is in modern-day Iraq, has had its troubles and stuff, they have built other cities out of the ruins and the stones of ancient Babylon. There have always been, even though it's been small, there have always been people living there, even to this day. Okay? So these prophecies have not been fulfilled yet. So this leads me to believe that the Babylon of Revelation will be the actual Babylon on the planet Earth where it is now. Now, there are some people who, like I say, they think it's America. They think it's somewhere else. I think that it's where the Bible says it is. So with that in mind, you guys at Revelation 18, let's go here. After these things, after the destruction of Mystery Babylon, this religious one, we saw in 17 verse 16 that Babylon the Great, the political power, would devour the religious Babylon. Remember that? So it says, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. So this was one of the higher ranking angels. And the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and every hated bird. The question that Bible teachers have is, when did it become this place for demonic activity? Was it before the destruction or after the destruction? I believe both are the answer. How many of you would agree that a lot of political powers are demonically inspired, right? I mean, we see the violence and the hate-filled ways that some leaders run their countries and stuff, and they're demonically inspired. An interesting verse, Matthew 13, verse 4, Jesus is giving a teaching. And he says, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. In the Bible and in Jesus' teaching, birds were always a symbolic of demonic activity. And notice in this verse it says, every foul spirit, and it became the cage of every unclean and hated bird. Right? So it will be an area that's demonically filled. It's demonically inspired now. And it's even going to get worse after God deals with it. Verse 3. For all the nations have drunk the wine of wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. We see that this end time, this Babylon government and economic system, how it's influencing the world, even today. I mean, the world, we've seen with Mystery Babylon, the religion, offering these false signs and wonders, and now the government Babylon offering riches. How does the enemy influence the world today? Through wonders and wealth, right? And so that's going to be the key for these things. That's why we as believers, we need to be on top of this. We need to be spiritually aware of what's going on. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I believe in miracles from God. I've experienced them. The gifts of the Spirit are very active and working today. God's got a great, great plan. He's got the best health plan. It beats Obamacare. But we need to be aware of false signs and wonders, the Bible teaches us, right? But we still need to trust God for his wonders. So we need to be spiritually in tune to what's going on here. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, now friends, this is speaking to you and I today. Come out of her, my people. Notice he says, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. One of the false religious teachings that is very popular in the world today is that you can be a believer, you can be on your way to heaven, but you can live like a sinner on earth. Notice it says here that the penalty for sin is the same for those who confess to be a believer as those who don't. Did you catch that? He says, you get away from that activity. You've been redeemed by my blood. You just can't live in sin and participate in this kind of activity without there being any consequence. Is that not what it says? It says, if you don't come out, you're going to share in her sins. A lot of people are sharing in the sins of the world, but think that maybe they've been baptized as a child. Maybe they participate in elements of communion, so they think they're freed from the results of that. But here it says, you'll receive of her plagues. Friends, sin is very, very dangerous. We can't just dive into it and not expect to have some consequences. Here are some scriptures you can write down if you're taking notes. We won't read them. But Romans 12:1-2. Gives us the same warning. 2 Corinthians 6:17 and James 4:4 gives us this warning to separate ourselves from this. Notice verse 5, he's still talking about Babylon, and we're referring to the Tower of Babylon, and we're seeing how it goes with today's world and mindset. Verse 5 says, "For her sins, Babylon, has reached to heaven." Now, I find this very interesting. In Genesis 11, when they were building the tower to heaven, it couldn't reach heaven, but their sins could. Their works can't reach heaven, but their sins can. A lot of people are trying to get to heaven through their works. It ain't gonna work, right? Her sins have reached heaven, and God remembered her iniquities. Now, I got a great scripture for you and I. Jeremiah 31, 34. This is awesome. "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me. For the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord." This is talking about this new covenant that communion pointed to. Check this out. "For I will forget their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." For you and I, as believers, God doesn't remember our sins. Isn't that good? He remembers the non-believer's sins. But for you and I, who have truly repented and turned to him, he doesn't remember. That's a good thing, right? I mean, that is awesome. Well, here he remembers the sins. And here we see what they have in the attitudes of Babylon that we see in our world today. We need to be cautious of. Verse 6, "Render to her as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her." This goes along with the Old Testament law of retribution, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, found in Exodus. Some sins you receive double. Verse 7, "In the measure that she," here's the first bad sign, and we need to make sure we don't have this in our life. It's pride. "For she glorified herself." Okay. We saw this in Babylon. They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to get glory for themselves. God hates pride. In Proverbs 6:16-17, where he lists the sins that he hates, the first one is pride. Why does God hate pride? Because pride takes us away from needing God, right? And they were very prideful. People are very prideful. The next thing here, it says, "and live luxuriously." That is the pursuit of self-gratification. Right? We see a selfishness in our world, don't we? She lived in arrogance. She lived in sensuality. She lived in selfishness. When nations or even individual people become too wealthy, they tend to become arrogant and forget their dependence upon God. Right? So she lived luxuriously. I'm still in verse 7, "in the same measure give her torment and sorrow." Because listen to what she says. She says in her heart, "I am as a queen." This is presumption. Her attitude was, "I'm a queen." Now, isn't it interesting she doesn't say, "I'm the king"? But she says, "I'm a queen." Why does she say this? Why does this Babylon government say that? Because, friends, remember, God gave man authority, but he gave woman influence, right? Like the joke in our house is, I'm the head of the house, but Kelly's the neck that turns the head. You guys probably heard that, right? I brag, you know, hey, I'm the man of the house, but Kelly dresses me. It's true. But woman has influence, right? And ladies, if you haven't understood that by now, never mind. This Babylonian leader has influence over the nations, right? Remember in all of the heads and horns and all that? She wasn't a king, but had crowns. Here we see this man of sin will be an influence. It says, "I sit as a queen and am no widow." What does that mean? Well, widows were helpless in the Bible days. They had no hope for a future. That's why the New Testament teaches the church that they are to care for widows indeed. Right? So what this is saying is this Babylonian mindset is, I have influence, I am self-sufficient, I don't need God, I don't need anybody. I'm it. I am no widow, and I will see no sorrow. That goes right along with it. That's the proud boast of someone who's so full of themselves, they have a false sense of security and self-abilities. So here this mindset of Babylon says, I am queen, I am no widow, I have no sorrow. Now what's interesting to me, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, Babylon, ancient Babylon was saying those same things the night before Cyrus conquered it. For the overhead, please, Isaiah 47, 8 and 9. I love this. Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day, the loss of your children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your sorceries, for the great abundance of your enchantments. Babylon was saying the same thing back then when Cyrus marched right through the gates and took them, right? Pride goes before destruction. Look at verse 8. This destruction will be sudden and it will be complete. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. One day's not long for war, is it? One day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Did I not have on the overhead earlier Isaiah 13, 19, where it says, as it was in Sodom, she would be destroyed? How was Sodom destroyed? Through these flames of fire coming from heaven, right? And here it says that's what's going to happen. It will be sudden, it will be complete, and it will happen with fire. Now, a lot of people believe that this is probably going to be the results of some kind of nuclear explosion. It sure could be. Look at verse 9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxurious with her, these are the leaders of the world that Babylon has influence over, and are really the puppets of Babylon, they will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Check out verse 10. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment. This is what leads people to believe that this probably is some nuclear fallout, and people can't come near to it because of the dangers of her torment. Very possible, right? Now, however God does it, whether through fire from heaven or nuclear bomb, I don't know how God will do it, but I know God will do it because he says he's going to do it. And they're going to stand from a distance, and they're going to say, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. I mean, we went from one day to one hour the judgment came. That's how fast it's going to happen. Verses 11 down through about 19 is a lament for this city and how we see how people are depending upon it. It says in verse 11, the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys the merchandise anymore. Now remember, we have learned that without the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. So the headquarters for all the marketing, all the economics and everything will be in this Babylon city, right? Now it's destroyed. It's going to shut everything down, right? Remember how freaked out people got at the year 2000? Because, you know, we laugh about it now, but everyone panicked. December 31st, 1999, right? This is really going to happen. And everything will stop. They can't buy, they can't sell anymore. Verse 12, merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, and cinnamon, and incense, fragrant oils, and frankincense, wine. I'm going to stop there because in this list, up to this point, everything is kind of a luxury, right? Now remember, we're in the tribulation. We're at the end of it. And we've seen how crops are going to be distressed, how water's going to be distressed. and how health is going to be distressed. But it's interesting to me that all this is happening, but yet the merchants are still making a lot of money on things that aren't necessities. Why is that? Because people are selfish. The Bible says where your treasure is, there where your heart will be. What do people spend their money on? That's what they're dedicated to. Right? Now we get into what I consider the necessities for living: oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots. Now this is kind of wild here. And bodies and souls of men. You know, in our nation, the horrible tragedy of slaveries have long since been abolished. It still goes on in different parts of the world, but you know, there's still a lot of slaveries today. There's people who are slaves to drugs, substances, sex, money. There's still a lot of enslavement going on today. People are slaves to debt. The Bible says that. But what gets me is where it says the souls of men. Friends, having the Babylonian mentality will affect your soul. Because the Babylonian mentality takes you away from God and focuses your attention upon this government. Friends, if you're looking to the government and not to God, you need to readjust your thinking. Right? Our government, just after this whole thing in California, I'm really paying attention to this. Department of Justice Friday, has put the warning out that now they're going to really put the screws tighter to people who say anything anti-Muslim. Friends, the Muslim religion is not a religion of peace. They want to kill you. They want to harm you. They want to destroy you. They don't want you to worship God. They don't want this church to exist. And I am committed to standing up against that. I don't care what they do. All right? You have my word on that. But now they're trying to bully churches and concerned citizens to not even say anything. Silence isn't stopping evil. Silence does not stop evil. We need to start becoming stronger men and women of faith, stronger men and women of God, and not be afraid and not cower down to the mindset of the Babylonians. Okay, I'm get off my soapbox. Let's get back on the preacher box here. Verse 14, he's still talking. The fruit of your souls longed for has gone from you. Like I say, when you have the mindset of the Babylonians, all you know, this wealth, this merchandise, this stuff is, that's what your soul longs for. Our soul needs to long for God. All these things are gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid are gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. That's why we need to be seeking God. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment. Here again we see that they can't physically go close to where this Babylon was, and again, we think it's probably because of nuclear fallout. But they'll stand at a distance weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and jewels." You know, as we saw before, it looked beautiful from the outside, but the inside was corrupt, wasn't it? "For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing." Friends, please remember that. If you're putting your hope and trust in riches, they can come to nothing very quickly. Side note, God is a blessing God. God wants you to be blessed. God does not want you to be in need. God does not want you to be in lack. He has set up the tithing system so that you can be blessed, right? As we give, so shall we receive. Please don't misunderstand me. If God has blessed you with finances, praise God, honor Him with that. If He's given you the business senses to be able to do business and stuff godly, do that, right? I'm not saying that we're not to be blessed. We are to be blessed. These people just had it backwards. You guys tracking me? Okay. "Every shipmaster who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance." They can't come to load up the vessels. And they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? Sodom. Verse 19, they threw dust on their heads and they cried out. You know what's interesting to me about this? Throwing dust on their heads in mourning was a Jewish religious form of sorrow. So here they're going through a religious activity, but it means nothing, right? But they go through this religious thing, and they're crying, alas, alas, the great city in which who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she was made desolate. Now, here we see the people of the earth mourning over her destruction, but look what God says to the people in heaven. That'd be you and I at this point. Rejoice over her, O heavens, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Do you remember in the earlier chapters when we saw these people were under the altar and asking God, when will you avenge our martyrdom? And God says, hold on a little bit, I'll take care of it. Well, now it's happened. Verse 21, to show how fast and complete this will be, John sees this vision. And then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. This would fulfill the prophecies of Jeremiah 51 and Isaiah 13 that we saw earlier. Verse 22, the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore, nor craftsmen of any crafts shall be found in you anymore, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorceries, again, remember, it's demonically inspired, by the voice of your sorceries, all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth. So here it comes to the end. Chapter 19, we're not going to get into because it's a long chapter, but it's a celebrating chapter. It's a chapter, the reason I like it so much is because it has to do with eating. I love that, you know. The old story is, you know, the question was asked of the old cowboy, what's the best thing your wife makes for dinner? And he says, reservations. The other day, my wife says, I want you to take me somewhere new I've never been for dinner. So I took her to the kitchen. That was good. Come on now. All the guys are going, I'm taking you there tonight. Chapter 19, we got two suppers. We got the marriage supper of the lamb and the feast of the fowl. The birds of the air are going to eat the bodies of the dead, and us believers are going to enjoy the marriage supper with our bridegroom. Won't that be awesome? But we'll get into that next week. All right. Kind of quick today, but with the communion, I wasn't sure how long it would be, so you guys don't mind getting out early, do you? Praise the Lord. Let's stand and pray. Worship team, join me up here, if you would, please. Now, next week when we go long, I want you to remember this. It might be. If you're visiting with us, it might be a little bit different, unique church service that you're with. But we're starting our way through the Bible. In fact, tonight on Sunday nights, we do an overview. We're reading through the Bible in a year. And tonight we're going to cover, in less than an hour, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, and get into 1 Thessalonians. So that's the challenge tonight. Wednesday nights, Andrew is finishing up his series, and then we'll be starting a new series at the first of the year. So we got a lot of opportunities for you to take part and be feed off the Word of God here. So we invite you to take part in that. But what we're going to do now is we're going to open up the altars for prayer. I'm going to say a quick prayer here, and then we're going to open the altars for prayer as the worship team leads us in a song. I invite you to worship God, be in prayer where you are, and if you have a prayer need, if you need someone to agree with you in prayer, we invite you to come forward and do that. And then at the end of that time, and it only lasts about the length of a song, we'll dismiss you in a congregational prayer. Okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, would you make each and every one of us very aware of the very real mindset of Babylon? Father, make us very aware of what Paul told Timothy about perilous times. Lord, it's very easy to see that we are in them. Father, it's very easy to see that evil is on the loose and is not taking prisoners. But Father, where evil is, grace abounds even more. So Lord, would you help us? Lord, would you make us strong in our faith, strong in our commitments? Lord, help us each to examine ourselves. And Lord, if maybe we have found ourselves being influenced by the Babylonian mindset in either our religion or in our self-government, Lord, would you help us to make the appropriate changes, Lord? Father, I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would just speak to every heart that's here. And Lord, help each and every one of us with the need that we have, with where we are, with what we have. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today struggling in a relationship, I pray that today you would heal that relationship. I pray if anyone needs a touch in their body, I pray that today you'd bring that healing. Lord, whatever it is, I ask that today you would meet and fulfill that need, Lord. And Father, as always, we'll be quick and careful to give you the praise and the glory for it. Father, we love you and we thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.